In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Just a quick run through the readings for this Holy Maundy Thursday. The Old Testament reading speaks of the institution of the Passover, how the Lord, the God of Israel, would deliver his people Israel, whom he had chosen from slavery in Egypt. Now, by outward appearance, the Israelites looked just like the Egyptians, probably. They were no different. They had the same identity as human beings, but there was one thing in which their identity differed, and that was the fact that God had chosen them as his own people, that he had taken them under the shelter of his wings, and that he was going to set them free from the bondage and the difficulties, the oppression that they knew. So he had Moses tell them, "I am the Lord. This blood, the blood of the new covenant, the blood of the Passover lamb, would be a sign for the people of Israel. It would be on the houses where they dwelt. And when the Lord saw the blood, he would pass over them. He would not destroy them. No plague would befall them when he struck the land of Egypt." And then he said, "This day shall be for you, for God's people Israel, a memorial day, one to be remembered. They shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout their generations, as a statute forever," the Lord God told them. "You shall keep it as a feast." And so it is with the New Testament that we celebrate this evening, the New Testament that we celebrate every divine service. For we have been marked with the blood of the Lamb. God has passed over us. He does not remember us to visit destruction upon us, which is what we deserve. But instead, he pours out his mercy and love. And so we remember this New Testament in Christ's body and blood every time we gather around this altar. And as our Lord Jesus Christ said, as often as we eat and drink this, his body, his blood, we do so in remembrance of him. Saint Paul speaks to the church in Corinth that was having some major difficulties in practice, difficulties in fellowship, in the union which they were to share in Christ, and difficulties in doctrine. So he reminds them in today's epistle reading that what he received from the Lord, he delivered to them. And then writes the words of institution with which we are so familiar, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, but literally in the Greek, handed over or delivered over, Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Paul continues, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And again, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Now, you may have noticed that earlier I read the Lord Jesus on the night when he was handed over instead of betrayed. Again, the Greek literally is handed over, because Jesus was handed over by God himself. Not Judas, rather, but by God. Jesus was delivered up by God to be the atoning sacrifice for all the world's sins. He was delivered up for you, and you had no choice in this matter. You did not sacrifice Christ. The Lord God sacrificed him for your sins. The Lord God has established the New Testament, his New Testament with you in holy baptism, and which is highlighted in the sacrament of the altar. As often as the church in all the world eats the bread and drinks the cup, the church proclaims the Lord's death until he comes again. It's happening here, it's happening at other churches in the area, it's happening in churches all around the world, because the celebration of the sacrament of the altar goes along with the proclamation of the gospel. Indeed, Luther says that the sacrament is the gospel given to us in a tangible way that we can partake of with our mouths, that nourishes us in body and soul. The very medicine of immortality that gives to us, with forgiveness of sins, also eternal life and salvation. Now, as I said, there were problems in the church of Corinth, and let me give you a little bit of background. If I go on too long, throw a hymnal at me or something. Again, the church of Corinth, you know, a lot of difficulties, and in their way of celebrating the sacrament, they had an agape meal first. A love meal or a love feast, a meal of fellowship that preceded the sacrament. And we have fellowship meals once a month after the service of the sacrament. You know, good food, good times, times to get together. But in Corinth, again, this agape meal, this fellowship meal, preceded the celebration of the sacrament. And what was happening is that the rich were coming and bringing all kinds of food, and they weren't sharing it with the poorer members of the congregation. They were going ahead and eating and drinking, even getting drunk in some cases, and there was disunity within the body of Christ there at Corinth. Think of the word communion. It means literally with union. In the sacrament of the altar, we have fellowship with one another as people who share the same confession of faith, as people who have been united as one body in Christ Jesus. But we also have, in addition to this horizontal fellowship, vertical fellowship with God, the God who has established fellowship with us in his Son, Jesus Christ. Communion. There is also union, sacramental union between the bread and the wine and the body and blood of Christ in, with, and under the bread and wine. Now, the problems in the church at Corinth made a mockery of the sacrament of communion. There was no union. There was division. And Paul was scandalized by this, and he corrected the Corinthians in the most strong terms on account of this disunion. He said, going on, "Whoever therefore eats a body or drinks a cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning or sinning against the body and blood of the Lord." And what was an unworthy manner to partake? Well, it's the same as today. First, without recognizing that Christ is present in his body and blood in the elements of communion. But it's also when there is division in a congregation, when there is open warfare, if you will, that makes a mockery of the sacrament. And our Lutheran theologian said, if that was the case, then the people should not commune until the divisions were erased. So Paul goes on and says, let a person examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For again, anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body of Christ, Christ's body, Christ's blood in the sacrament, but also as an individual standing apart or standing against the congregation as a whole, eats and drinks judgment on himself. This sacrament is no thing to be taken lightly. You should not be afraid to come to the sacrament. The sacrament is for repentant sinners. But we don't come in the same way that we do to our fellowship meals. We don't come in a revelry sort of way. That's not the right word, but you get the idea. We come as those who have been redeemed by the body and blood of Christ, who have been forgiven all of our sins. We come remembering that Christ died for us, and his death, the shedding of his blood, is present for us in the sacrament. And we come recognizing that Christ will come again at the end of the age. This is some of what Paul is getting at in the reading from Corinthians. I spoke of love and of union, and Jesus himself is our union with one another. Jesus, who loved us, calls us to love one another just in the same way as he has loved us. He calls us to serve one another just as he serves us. I am among you as one who serves. You too, Jesus says, are to be servants of one another. And so our Lord washed his disciples' feet. He bathed them. He took upon himself the duties of a slave to demonstrate that he who is the greatest of all at the table makes himself least of all for the benefit of others. You call me teacher and Lord, Jesus says, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you all also should do as I have done to you. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, for you equally have been redeemed by Christ. You together have an equal standing in the family of God. Love one another as Christ has loved you. And by this, Jesus says, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This love is not something that we generate from within ourselves. This love is born of repentance and faith. In the Christian questions with their answers, Luther reminds us that we are to come to the sacrament so that we may learn to believe more strongly, more devoutly in Christ our Savior, and that we may learn to love our neighbor. I know I fall short in so very, very many ways, and I don't hesitate that you too fall short. But look what Christ has done. He has poured out the abundance of his love upon us sinners because he is merciful and good. And coming, recognizing our deficits, recognizing our sins, He forgives us. He washes us anew, just as He washed us in holy baptism. He strengthens our faith. He makes luminous the love that we show to one another. Love that it is displayed in works of love for the benefit of one another. Just as Christ displayed the greatest work of love of all, His death on the cross, bearing the sins of the world for our benefit, on our behalf. On the night our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He says, "Take, eat, this is My body given for you." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, and He said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Greater love has no one than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. And we, together here at Mount Olive, are those who have benefited eternally, immeasurably, from that love of Christ, who does not call us slaves, He says, but calls us friends, for He laid down His life for you and for me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.